Hello and welcome to Talk of Iowa. I'm Guyana Torosyan. With me in our studio today is Nicholas Johnson, waiting patiently for the last 20 minutes of the program to get on the air and discuss media reform and media responsibility. Professor Johnson teaches at the University of Iowa College of Law. He's a highly visible person, and you can find out more about him if you go to his webpage. It's nicholasjohnson.org, www.nicholasjohnson.org. Professor Johnson is also a former FCC commissioner. He knows a lot about broadcasting and responsibility and regulation in the private and mixed sectors. Let's talk about the conference that you attended recently, May 13th through the 15th in St. Louis. It was also a very visible event. What was that about?
Well, I'll tell you, Guyane, when I was on the FCC and afterwards as chair of the National Citizens Committee for Broadcasting, we'd get media reformers together. We'd be lucky if we had 17 people. This thing, the National Media Reform Conference, there was one about a year and a half ago in Madison, and it wasn't 17 people who showed up, it was 1,700 people who showed up. This thing is just sweeping the nation as the media abuses, particularly in commercial media, have irritated more and more people. This year in St. Louis, a couple weeks ago, there were 2,500 people, and there would have been 4,000 if they hadn't closed off registration. So we're seeing hundreds of groups around the country that are getting involved once again in license challenges and filing complaints with the FCC, producing their own local programming, as with our local public access channels and so forth. And this, normally the FCC considers license renewals for all the stations in a state at the same time. When I was on the FCC, that was every 3 years. Now it's every 8 years. And this is the year in Iowa. And we now have in Iowa, I had nothing to do with organizing this thing, I hasten to say, but we now have in Iowa something called Iowans for Better Local TV. And they have a website, www.ibltv.org, and that's the IBLTV is for Iowans for Better Local Television. And the Iowa stations, television stations, are up this year, and citizens all across the state are getting involved.
I would like to get our listeners involved in our conversation as well. The number to call is 1-866-780-9100. In about 12 or 13 minutes, if you could give us a call with your questions or comments. And the email address, talk@uiowa.edu. That's again, talk@uiowa.edu, 1-866-780-9100. To discuss responsibility and regulations with Nicholas Johnson. So, Professor Johnson, this organization was formed in Iowa as a response to license renewal, or was it triggered by something else? Were people upset about Sinclair, which is governing a number of television stations in the area, including
KGAN. Yeah, Channel 2 in Cedar Rapids. Sinclair is now the largest owner of television stations in the country, I believe. I think they have 62, two here in the state of Iowa. And there have been a lot of complaints about Sinclair and its stations and the way in which it's using them for ideological and partisan purposes and cutting back on news in a way that results in less coverage of the local issues and information that people in any community need to have. And I think it's important to understand, you mentioned mixed economy, and President Bush just referred to China, one of the most economically successful economies in the world today. This is a communist country, and yet they've got entrepreneurs. And here we think of ourselves as a free private enterprise market economy, but if by socialism you mean something owned and operated by the state, we've got an Interstate 80 is a socialist highway running through the state. We've got three socialist state universities and socialist public schools all across the state and public libraries and so forth. So we have a mixed economy, too, and broadcasting is one example of that. In most countries, it was set up as a public corporation because we felt that it was, those countries felt that it was too politically powerful to trust to private individuals and too important to turn over to commercialism. And in this country, we came up with a kind of compromise where we have private operators of the stations, but the airwaves are owned by the people and regulated by the government, and a commercial station operator is told how high the antenna tower can be and what kind of light has to be at the top of it and what hours they can operate and with what power and on what frequency. So it is very much a government-private partnership. And one of the conditions of that is that they have to come in and ask to have their licenses renewed. As I say, it used to be every 3 years. It's now every eight, and this is the year in Iowa.
There used to be some more tougher conditions on those broadcast operators, such as public service or ascertainments, community ascertainments, the fairness doctrine. Why did those go away?
I think as a result of industry pressure and an inability or an unwillingness of Congress and the FCC to stand up to what is for them, as a political force, the single most powerful industry in America. And so, ironically, they've sold out to the industry in ways that disadvantage them ultimately, oftentimes, in politics, is what's happened. But it's the combination of the FCC removing the very few regulations that we had, along with permitting this rapid expansion of ownership of stations. When I was there, no single licensee could hold licenses to more than 7 a.m. and 7 f.m., and I thought that was too many. Now Clear Channel has, I think, some 1,200 radio stations across the country. So you combine that with a failure to focus on responsibility to the community, and you have a very devastating power. As one of the members of Congress said back in 1927 when they were debating the 1928 Radio Act, if we should ever allow this power to fall into the hands of the few, then woe be to those who would dare to disagree with them. And that's what we're confronting today.
And Senator John McCain has also said that those relaxed rules have not only been blessed by big media, but even written by their lobbyists. So this is what you're referring to. 1-866-780-9100. In the remaining 10 or so minutes, you can call us at Talk of Iowa toll free and speak with Nicholas Johnson, former FCC commissioner, now a professor at the University of Iowa College of Law, or send us an email, talk@uiowa.edu. And Professor Johnson's web address is www.nicholasjohnson, that's one word, nicholasjohnson.org. What should people do? First of all, Iowans for Better Television is an organization that's operating here. And what should people do to join or to join their voices, at least to express their opinion in relation to media issues?
Well, the first thing, of course, is to get informed. And you can find out more about this local organization, Iowans for Better Local Television. They have a website, and that'll give you the information you need. I don't know all of that myself. As I say, this is not an organization that I had anything to do with starting. But they're on the web at www.ibltv.org, Iowans for Better Local TV. And I think they meet on the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month at the Iowa City Public Library at 6:30. I think I remember that. And I think those meetings are open to anybody who wants to come and learn more about what's going on and what they can do to contribute to this effort. But as I used to say when I was putting together coalitions for media reform decades ago, whatever is your first priority, whether it's women's issues or the environment or religious concerns or whatever. Whatever your first priority may be, that your second priority has to be media reform, because unless you have access to the mass media, unless stations are covering what your organization cares about and what you're doing, unless it's having discussions of these issues, it's very difficult to get the word out when we're living in a information age that's dominated by these massive media conglomerations. You've got to be able to get the word out if you're going to have any impact at all. And with some access to the media and some responsibility on the part of the mass media, I think we as a people can solve most of the problems we confront. But if we can't talk with each other and we can't get access to the information, it's pretty difficult to do that.
Again, 1-866-780-9100 is our toll-free number. There is information on the web through Iowans for Better Local TV about Sinclair Broadcast Group. It's one of the largest, most diversified TV broadcasting companies, and it reaches 24% of U.S. television households. That includes ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and other affiliates. And in Iowa, at least three stations belong to that group: KGAN-TV, KFXA, and KDSM. The last two are, if I'm not mistaken, they're Fox stations, and KGAN happens to be a CBS station. What do you think, Professor Johnson, is the underlying reason for this phenomenon? What drives this consolidation, conglomeration?
I mean, why do the stations want to do it? They want to do it because they can make more money. There's some desire to have ideological and political control over where our country goes, and it certainly is in the interest of any administration to have fewer media owners that they need to deal with, because it's, as is said, whoever controls the media in any society controls that country, and that's true in a fascist country, it's true in a communist country, it's true in a lesser developed country. It's true around the world. And in this country, the dominant control of the mass media falls to the hands of the Fortune 500 and the large media conglomerates, many of which are in that Fortune 500. So it's corporate advertisers and corporate owners who are, as someone has said, even if they don't tell us what to think, they tell us what to think about. Control of the agenda is one of the most powerful political forces you can have.
Even if they don't have an agenda to change our views necessarily on particular matters, but by the need to make more money, that drives to this less diversity and consolidation and more uniformity in what we hear and what we see. But the reason for accountability is that those stations, those corporations are using something that belongs to the public or to nobody, the airwaves. They cannot be exhausted, they cannot be damaged per se, and so they're an eternal resource for revenue. And as they say, those stations are minting money by the minute. So there has to be some accountability. Isn't that the
That's the theory, that's right.
We're going to have Professor Johnson back, Nicholas Johnson, former FCC commissioner and currently a law professor at the University of Iowa College of Law, on one of our future programs in maybe a couple of weeks or so. So please prepare your questions then. But right now we still have a couple of minutes. And if you would like to call us, the number is 1-866-780-9100 and talk@uiowa.edu. is the email address if you want to drop an email real quickly before the hour runs out. So, Professor Johnson, you also spoke at St. Louis. What was memorable at that conference? I know that there were some outstanding speeches.
Bill Moyers made a very famous speech mm-hmm. that's now gone all around the Internet, both in audio and in print, about the problems at this time with public broadcasting. And the role of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting president in seemingly, according to Bill Moyers, trying to bring ideology into the duet. You're pointing at your screen, which makes me think we have either an email or a call.
We have two calls. And Bill Moyer's speech is available on the web. You can email or check Professor Johnson's webpage. But right now, here's Jeremy calling from Wesley in the remaining couple of minutes. Jeremy, hi, you're on Talk of Iowa.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank
my
you.
Question is that, you know, like the AT&T, you know, the federal government required them to be broke down with the antitrust laws. Why aren't the same things being done with the broadcast industry? You know, like you, your guest was speaking earlier, you know, those who control the airwaves control, you know, what people think about.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think if you and I were in Congress, we'd be doing that. And I think we're going to have to do that at some point. You know, the pendulum swings, and I think it's now swung to the point where most people are able to see what you articulate so well, which is that we do have an abuse here that does need to be rectified, and it's not going to be done by these media conglomerates acting on themselves. It's going to require some external force from government, I think, and that's building up as we get thousands more people showing up at this media conference and Iowans participating in the license renewals this year. I think ultimately Congress will have to respond.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Jeremy. And here's another call from Bradley in Des Moines. Bradley, we have only a minute or so. Go ahead.
I'll be brief. Professor Johnson, could you recommend books, some academic-level books that we might read in order to acquaint ourselves with this topic?
I have a reference to some books on my website. If you go to www.nicholasjohnson.org, Nicholas Johnson is NicholasJohnson with no punctuation. In the upper right-hand corner of that screen, you'll see a link to something called Media Reform. Click on that and look around that page, and you'll see lots of information about things you can do, including reference to some of the basic books in this area.
Thank you very kindly, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling, Bradley. Well, unfortunately, our 20 minutes are up. Professor Johnson, we'll have to have you back in a couple of weeks or so. Please do call us then, but right now we have to end our program. Produced by Dennis Reese with help from Jason Ennis, and Jim Davis is our chief engineer. Join us again next time on Talk of Iowa. I'm Guyana Torosyan.